Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
How we doing? Football Friday, Zach Gelb Show, but where else? CBS Sports Radio across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. We got a whole lot to do. If you missed any of the conversation in hour number one, you could always use that rewind function on the free Odyssey app. We broke down the game between the Lions and Chiefs last night to kick off the season. A lot of overreaction today. If you're dissecting the Kansas City Chiefs, it's just stupid after one game to be like, oh, they're in trouble. They can't win a Super Bowl this year. Without having Chris Jones and also Travis Kelce, they only lost the game by 1 point. And then if you're a Lions fan, and we did talk about the other side of it, it's validation from some of the hype in this offseason, where if you lose that game when the Chiefs don't have Chris Jones or Travis Kelce and Kadarius Toney's dropping the ball left and right and even gave you a pick six because that shouldn't be on Mahomes, then it would have been one of those days of, man, the Lions, we said they were all that this offseason, but then they didn't follow through on a big national stage last night. You also have two enormous college football games this weekend, Colorado and Nebraska, with all the talk about Coach Prime making his debut in front of the home fans, had the big performance last week up against TCU. Shedeur Sanders was awesome. We all got to see the two-way star of Travis Hunter. And then you also have a big game where a lot of people are doubting Alabama. And then you have a lot of people optimistic about Texas this year, where we have the Longhorns going up against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Hickey, when we look at the college football slate this weekend, when we talk about other big games, like Nebraska, Colorado, because of Coach Prime, has a big game feel. We know Texas-Alabama is a big game. The only other two games that you may want to throw in that big game category, I don't know if we are there yet. It's like it's an important game. It's a fun game, but I don't know if you call it a big game. Is Texas A&M, Miami, and then also Ole Miss going up against Tulane. Would you classify those, and I know you're probably a little bit more lenient on that than I am, as big games this upcoming weekend?
No, I would like to. I would say fun games. Like Ole Miss Tulane should be an offensive explosion. So that's like I would say more in the fun category because I don't think many people have high hopes for either team. So it's not like a big game where one's going to really cement themselves as, oh, Ole Miss is here to stay. But I think one of those really fun back and forth games. And A&M Miami is honestly more about the head coaches, right? Like it's kind of same thing where it's like it's not going to be 52-45, but it's going to be really. Whenever this game ends, it's what are people going to be talking about on Twitter, whether it's Jimbo Fisher getting fired if he loses the game or Mario Cristobal, Miami fans going after him now because you see no improvement early on in year two.
And Jimbo Fisher the last year and then, you know, you can't really evaluate him yet after one game. He has so much talent and he was just god-awful last year. And now you bring in Bobby Petrino, we think to be your offensive coordinator, and it's like, okay, what's that role going to look like throughout the duration of the season with how stubborn Jimbo Fisher is? But you know what's kind of crazy to me? And I know Miami fans are really tired because for basically the last 15, 20 years, we keep on asking the question, is Miami back? And you keep on bringing in the next head coach, and they keep on failing. But Mario Cristobal was one of their own. And they were coveting him for years, and they finally got him. And I know last year was not a good season, But it does surprise me a little bit how quickly the Miami fan, at least it feels like it, has soured on Mario Cristobal, where if they lose this game, and they probably should lose the game to A&M, and A&M's a more talented team, but if you lose this game, man, I know what we heard last year for the Miami fan, but that's going to get echoed even louder if you lose this big game to Texas A&M, which the Miami fan will tell you a big game, but I don't know how big of a game it is nationally.
So I'll be honest, I am conflicted when it comes to like firing coaches early on because there are plenty of mechanisms now where you should be able to build your roster and turn it over very quickly.
Well, I will say, I have to call a little cap on you on that one. I feel like you like to fire coaches quickly.
Well, I'll say this.
You advocate a lot to fire coaches quickly.
I'll be completely honest. I was my senior year at Penn State screaming to fire James Franklin.
Ah, well, you were right on that one.
So, and he's obviously needed time, turns around. I honestly would have advocated for Florida State firing Mike Norvell. And they started 0-4 in 2021. It's one of those things where you're losing at Jacksonville State. It's like this 2020 was a disaster. 2021 is off to a worse start. I would have fired him. So it's one of those. It's tough because I think it depends on the situation and the circumstance. It's not like Cristobal took over a Miami team that was like 9-3, 9-3, 9-3, and now your goal is to take it to the top. It was a program that was down for a while.
But when you lose to Middle Tennessee, that really lets all the air out of the balloon of the
it
Mario
does.
Cristobal balloon.
Now, again, Saban turns around fast, but Nick Saban also lost to, was it Georgia Southern, I think it was, in his first year. Like, there are instances where you can be
absolutely
a rock bottom early and turn it around. I don't think, I would say case by case. I know last week we were talking about Billy Napier getting fired at Florida, and I will stand by that take if things go worse. I don't think Miami should be in a position to fire Cristobal after year two.
You could lose a lot of games in year one, but you got to show some signs and you got to be competitive. And you look at, and they lost 17-9 to A&M last year. But then it was 45-31 loss to Middle Tennessee. They lose to Duke 45-21. You lose to Florida State 45-3. Clemson wasn't in a great spot at the end of the season. You lose to them 40-10. You lose to Pitt 42-16. I think it was not only losing to Middle Tennessee, but then down the stretch where you hope to show signs of improvement in year one, and you really then have a bunch of weeks to take that step in the right direction. It was three of those games. I know they beat Georgia Tech, but already fired their coach at the time, 35-14. But three out of those four games, they weren't even competitive in those games. And that's where I think you quickly start to lose the Miami fan. But I don't think it, I would say he is on the hot seat this year, but I don't think he should be on the hot seat, where if you have another underwhelming year, then you're definitely going into next year on the hot seat. But I think right now saying that he's on the hot seat after one game, and they won the game, right? 38-3. It's in Miami, Ohio. Who cares? But even if they lose this game this week, as long as they're competitive, I think it'd be a rush to say that they're on the hot seat. But if Mario Cristobal wants to lose my alma mater coming up on September 23rd at Temple, I would fully be on board with that. Then I'll be leading the hot seat charge for a guy that I like. I wanted Mario Cristobal years ago when Temple hired Matt Rhule. I wanted the Owls to hire Mario Cristobal. I was always a big fan of Mario Cristobal.
Except on September 23rd, when I'm sure you'll be cursing him out.
Yeah, I hope he loses by 45.
EJ Warner, no pressure, but hey, yeah. Got a lot to live up to here.
I don't even know if my alma mater even wants me in the crowd for that game. I don't know. They may not want that loud mouth Zach Gelb in the crowd. They put me up on the big screen last year when it was UMass. But now we got a big game? I don't know. We'll see.
45-3 in the third quarter. Are you staying?
45-3 Temple?
No. Miami.
Oh, Miami? Well,
taking
here's the
early
thing.
Train home?
Here's the thing, folks.
Are you going to the game?
So I'm planning on going to the game now. They don't have the time of the game announced. I have to do that the Sunday 8-hour show. I don't think it's going to be a 7 o'clock game. I think we're probably going to get noon or 3:30. If it is a noon game, I will absolutely be there. If it is a 3:30 game, I will probably be there. But I do plan to go to that game. Ideally, I would hope for noon, get up early Saturday, take the train down, and then I could get an afternoon train. But I will book the train ticket back before I go down there. So even if it's a blowout of a game, as long as the people I go with want to stay, it really doesn't give me any benefit to leave early because the train is the train time. Now, if my friends say if it is a blowout late in that fourth quarter, we want to leave. I'm not going to sit there by myself.
Okay, that's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not a bad fan here.
I'm
heck, I was at UMass last year.
Well, yeah. That's...
I go to a game every year. That's the game that I think I'm going to go to this year. And I know they're playing, it kills me this weekend. They're playing a Saturday night in Piscataway, New Jersey. I can't make the trip there. I have other obligations. And I wanted to go to that game because that'd be a fun game.
Are they at Rutgers on Saturday? You're not going to go?
I got other obligations.
Wow, some fan.
I got other obligations.
It's a big game for Temple.
I had a previous commitment, and I can't get out of the previous commitment right now. And they should have. Shiano even said it. They should have beat Rutgers last year. They ended up losing by 2 points. So hopefully,
Chris, a winnable game.
You know what I hope for? Chris Carlin, very sad on Saturday night. I hope Carlin is crying.
Crying.
Yeah, I get to send it. Where's the pandemonium in Piscataway now, big guy?
He's
a fun
crying
text.
Over a loss at Temple. We got to adjust those expectations for this year. Let me tell you what. If you're talking about an 11-1, 12-0 Rutgers team that all of a sudden now is derailed because they lose at Temple in week two, and now the dreams of going to the Big Ten title game or college football playoff are over.
Well, one of the more deflating losses in my life was Temple Rutgers when I was calling the game. And it was in Rule's first season there, where they were playing teams that they were not better than, and they would be in the fourth quarter, down to the final few minutes, they would lose the game every time. They won two games that year, and it looked like they had the Rutgers game in the bag. It was like fourth and short. They ran out of a pistol formation on fourth and one, did not get it. And then shortly after that, Leonte Carew, I believe the guy's name was, had the receiving touchdown, and I was just deflated. So I would say a little payback. That would be my text to Carlin on Saturday night. A little payback from Leonte Carew.
Sounds like Matt Rule's year number one is perfect for what Nebraska's gone through the last few years. So that pain that they felt, the
really
pain
is.
He's felt, they are just married into one.
It really is. And there was a game against UCF when Blake Bortles was the quarterback. And they had them, they should have won the game. And then J.J. Warden, the receiver, I don't know if you remember that name, made this sick one-handed catch.
Yes.
It was on SportsCenter for
viral.
Like weeks.
Yes.
For weeks.
That's right. In the back of the end zone. That was a sick catch.
Yeah. Anyway, five questions, five answers. I don't even know where are we going to talk about Mario Cristobal potentially on the hot seat?
Because he's going to allegedly, possibly lose the Temple in 2 weeks. So forget about tomorrow in the hot seat. The real hot seat talk is coming in 2 weeks in Philly, September 23rd, maybe at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern, after Temple pulls off one of the biggest upsets ever.
All I'll say is my guy Silky, who mans the grill on the tailgate, you better have the cheesesteaks ready to go if I'm making the schlep down to Philadelphia for a little Temple football. And my Temple tempers will have the beer flowing, no doubt about that. Five questions, five answers, onside, offside. Hot take hickey on a Football Friday. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Hickett Knight, what do you got for me?
All right, Zach Gelb, we just were talking about college football, so let's keep that college football talk going because tomorrow is the first home game for Deion Sanders and co. as they host Matt Rule's Nebraska and throwing back to an old rivalry, Colorado and Nebraska. Now, the Buffaloes.
You got to say Cornhuskers there.
I guess you're right. The Buffaloes and the Cornhuskers. Who's going to win, the corn or the animal? We'll see.
Do you think
big one?
Do you think at any point this year, Deion will ride into the game on a buffalo?
Honestly, I would not be surprised. I hope he wears a cowboy hat tomorrow. He pulls it off really well. He wore it at the spring game. He rocked the hell out of it. I'd wear it tomorrow.
Who pulled off the cowboy hat better? Yours truly a few weeks ago? And you said I looked really good in it.
You did.
Or Deion Sanders?
Not a slight against you. Deion pulled it off really well.
It's the right answer.
He pulled it off really well.
He has more swag than I do.
He looked like the sheriff.
He looks cool.
You look like a cowboy, which again is a good compliment, but Deion looks like he is in charge of the town.
Yeah. I look good in the cowboy hat. I don't make the cowboy hat look cool. Deion makes everything look cool.
He does.
Especially California almonds.
That's true.
I saw the commercial today. It came on a few weeks ago, promoted California almonds, and they do a TV commercial, and he pulls, like, this lever, and all the almonds fall on him.
Is that when he's in, like, the bathroom?
Yeah.
Very slick.
Smart.
Very, very smooth.
We'll take some almonds, too. I like almonds.
All yours. All yours. That's for sure.
You don't
sure.
like almonds?
No, I like almond cookies.
But you don't like almonds?
That's correct.
Kind of surprised. Well, not surprising at all. You have a taste buds of a three-year-old.
Well, unique maybe is a better word to describe it.
Go ahead.
Also, speaking of unique, that was a hell of a win last week for the Buffaloes, upsetting TCU. Their offense was unstoppable, led by Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And now in Nebraska, we just talked about heartbreak. They come in off of a heartbreaking loss in Matt Rhule's first game, coughing up a 7-point lead with 5 minutes to go, eventually losing in regulation to Minnesota 13-10. Now, the spread in this one, Buffs favored by 2.5 points. Onsides or offsides? Colorado will win and move to 2-0.
You guys know me. I love Rhule. I love now Nebraska. I also love Coach Prime. I just look at the talent on Colorado. They're quick, and they have more talent. And I can't trust the quarterback Sims coming over from Georgia Tech. I just saw what Shador Sanders did. Plus, you have the speed of Travis Hunter on both sides of the ball. I think Colorado's going to move to 2-0. So I will go on sides on that one. Which, by the way, I remember when we were talking about their schedule. There was a producer and talk show host here when I was like, if they could split the first two games of the season, that would be a big win. And you were like, no way that they're going to split the first two games against TCU and Nebraska. You had them at 0-2. So as Coach Prime would say, you're a non-believer, Hickey. Non-believer.
Do you believe now?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
You believing in Colorado this weekend, or are you going back to the well with Nebraska?
I am rolling with your guy, Matt Rhule.
Wow. It was also your coach of the year pick last year. It didn't work out for you.
That is true. So I'm going back down the well of Matt Rhule and believing. He burned me once, but not this time.
You had Matt Rhule as the coach of the year last year. He got fired, what, 4 or 5 weeks into the season?
I think it was week 5. Not great.
And then you had Nathaniel Hackett being in the top 3 for coach of the year
and he was
well.
Fired after week 15 or 16. So... nailed both.
If I'm a coach who's coaching for his job, I'm tuning into this show and just praying that Hickey is not making me on any award list
now,
this year.
Now, our picks for this season, last week I think it was Sean Payton coach of the year. I'm going to go on a limb here.
He won't
it's
be
a guarantee
one
he's not getting fired. So at least that streak will end with picking coach of the year and having them get fired. All right. Colorado-Nebraska is a big one, very intriguing. The biggest game, though, of the weekend in college football, number 11 Texas visiting number 3 Alabama.
You got to say it correctly. Number 3, Alabama.
I'll let you do the Vern Lundquist because I cannot do Vern.
Alabama.
Vern injustice by trying to mimic the great Vern.
Also, do you think Vern's going to be watching Tiki Barber this weekend on CBS to see how he works the telestrator?
Hope not. Hope not for Tiki's perspective, and hope not for our perspective, because if he wants to voice his opinion, I think he knows a safe space where to go. Put us in a bad spot.
So I want to get Tiki on next week for many reasons, and we see him every day and we have a good relationship with Tiki. Do you think the relationship would be over if I played him what Vern had to say about him using the telestrator? Do you think he would chuckle at it?
I think he would laugh. The relationship would definitely not be over because you didn't say it. Vern said
okay.
It. And you didn't goad him into saying it.
No,
he just literally came out of left field and said, hey, guess what? I was watching this game the other day and this guy sucked. Guess who it was? Tiki Barber. Oh, my God. No way. He's on and, 3 hours before us.
And correct me if I'm wrong. That was right after John Madden passed away? Because he was talking about how great Madden was on the telestrator.
I don't know exactly, but that would make sense as to why that was brought up.
Think about that. We bring on Vern Lundquist to talk about the passing of the great John Madden, and somehow in that interview he takes a shot at Tiki Barber. Oy, oy, oy.
Vern is having a good time in retirement, that's for sure. But going back, Texas-Alabama, crazy game last year, 2019 victory, where Alabama was kind of lucky to squeeze out of Austin there with the win. Quinn Ewers, Texas quarterback, had a big first quarter, over 120 passing yards before he did leave with a shoulder injury. Both teams, no surprise, week one cupcakes, did breeze right by this one. At home, Crimson Tide, 7-point favorite. So I'll ask you, Zach, onsides or offsides, Texas will upset Alabama.
Now, I picked Texas to win the Big 12. They lose this game, it won't impact them because Alabama's in the SEC. We know Texas is going to go to the SEC next season. I would not minus the points with Alabama here, but I do think Alabama is going to win the game. There's too much Alabama doubt right now, and I've seen this script too many times. I think Jalen Milroe has a good game. When you ask me Texas will beat Alabama, I really want to pick Texas, but... my gut just tells me Saban's going to find a way to send a big week 2 statement. So I will go offside here. Alabama is going to win the game.
Offside.
The Lions pulled off an impressive 21-20 win over the Chiefs to kick off the NFL season last night. The Chiefs were without Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. And after the game, Mike Tirico of NBC did not really shy away from that.
This has an asterisk because of no Chris Jones and no Travis Kelce. But after what you saw at the end of last year and what you saw tonight...
I'll ask you, Zach, onsides or offsides? Mike Tirico is right in saying the Lions win does have an asterisk.
So you got to be careful with your words, clearly, when you're an announcer. After hearing that again, I feel as if once he said it,
he then kind of realized he probably shouldn't have said it because he was giving the Lions a compliment, and then it seems like a backhanded compliment when you say what you said before it. I don't think he's right, though, because injuries are part of the NFL. I don't think that's a cheap victory for the Lions last night because Chris Jones has a contract dispute and Travis Kelce couldn't get on the field. Like, the Kelce thing you couldn't control, but the Chris Jones thing you could have controlled. You could have paid him money. So I'm not going to hold that against the Detroit Lions. So I don't think Tirico's right there, so I'll go offside.
Offside.
The most anticipated matchup of week one of the NFL comes on Monday night as Aaron Rodgers makes his long-awaited Jets debut hosting the Buffalo Bills. It's been the summer of Aaron, who's been the darling of New York, while Buffalo looks to keep a stranglehold on the division that's arguably the best in the league. Onsides or offside, Zach, the Jets have the most pressure to win on week one.
Oh, that's offside.
Offside.
And here's why. You're going up against a team that's been really good for the last few years in the Buffalo Bills, and you're going up against another top five quarterback in the league in Josh Allen. You can't get embarrassed. You got to keep that game close. But if I look at, is this just team or just quarterback?
Team.
I still think it's the Cowboys. Going up against the Giants, a team that you're better than, right? You have all the drama with the Cowboys. There's the Dak Prescott storyline. If Dak and the Cowboys have a stinker up against the Giants, I think that's a really bad look, even though the Giants are improved as an organization, making the playoffs a year ago. But I think the most pressure is actually on the Cowboys this weekend.
And finally, three rookie quarterbacks are set to make their debuts on Sunday as number one pick Bryce Young takes on the Falcons, Anthony Richardson and the Colts host the Jaguars, and CJ Stroud starts his career in Baltimore as the Texans play the Ravens.
Also, just one more real quickly. Vikings, too, have a lot of pressure against that Tampa Bay team without Tom Brady. Vikings, go win the game this way. You can't have a Kirk Cousins stinker this weekend.
A lot of pressure to go around to start the season. I'll ask you this, onsides or offsides, at least one rookie quarterback will win their debut on Sunday.
So we look at these matchups. You have Richardson going up against the Jaguars. Nope. The Panthers are playing the Atlanta Falcons. Panthers are going to be without a lot of wide receivers. I like Atlanta in that one. And then you have the Houston Texans playing the Ravens. Nah, I think they're all going 0-3. So at least one rookie quarterback will win on Sunday. I will go offside. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The venue's set. Families coming in from all over. It's her quinceañera. With all the excitement, it may be easy to overlook COVID-19. It's still a risk, and that's why it's muy importante to get this season's COVID-19 shot ahead of time. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. So let's set the date, vaccinate, and celebrate. Check eligibility and schedule this season's COVID-19 shot on the CDC site, vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So right as the football season kicked off last night, you had a record-breaking extension where it was a five-year deal for $275 million for Joe Burrow, and $219.5 million of that was guaranteed. So that dropped right as the season did kick off between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. Today, the reaction from that is, okay, no crap, he was going to get an enormous deal. The question was, would he take less money or would he spread it out over more years? I have no problem with what Joe Burrow did. You reset the market. Yes, you take a whole lot of money. I don't fault anyone, though, for doing this on a five-year deal and resetting the entire market and really the entire league when it comes to contracts. But I did see a report today from Kelsey Conway, who I'm not familiar with her work, but she is the Bengals beat reporter for the Inquirer and also USA Today. And she also does Cincinnati Bearcats sideline. She got like 45,000 followers. That's how you really trust someone on Twitter, but she covers the team full time, right? As a team beat reporter. So you have sources. And she said that T. Higgins is not believed to be in the Bengals' future plans. There's no word about a trade coming for Higgins at this time, but a possible tag and trade could happen in this offseason. Now, you look at the Bengals, what makes them so fun is you have Joe Burrow, you have Ja'Marr Chase, you have T. Higgins, and then also you have Tyler Boyd. Let me ask it to you this way, Hickey. Does giving this extension to Burrow, which you had to do, but Burrow not taking a discount, does this price out T. Higgins, who could be a number one wide receiver on a lot of other teams in the league, but his role right now is a number two wide receiver? Does this price out the Bengals from getting a deal done with T. Higgins?
I think so, yes. You have Ja'Marr Chase to pay next year. You got Orlando Brown Jr. Now, like, you got a lot of people to pay.
Also, remember Tyler Boyd. If it's going to be pick one or the other between T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, I think most people would say pay T. Higgins over Tyler Boyd. But with that being said, Tyler Boyd would come at a cheaper price tag. Tyler Boyd is also a free agent at the end of this season.
Yeah, no, I stand by that. I don't see how T. Higgins, a lot of people would say, is a borderline number one receiver on most teams.
Oh, put it this way.
So he's looking for a lot of money. I don't see how Cincinnati's going to afford that.
Even if Ja'Marr Chase, all right, we all know he's a top five receiver in the sport. He's our number one wide receiver. If you ask me, T. Higgins, is he a number one wide receiver in this league? Yes. I ultimately think that it's just weird that this is the report right now. And I know it's right in the aftermath of Joe Burrow. And clearly these contract negotiations haven't gone well. But part of me says, like, how serious do I have to take this report? Because, yes, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be priority number one. You could tag T. Higgins. And if you tag T. Higgins, is T. Higgins going to automatically say, I want out, I'm done? Or is T. Higgins going to say, I'll play a year on the tag, no problem. Then if you don't give me that extension, then you could tag me again if you want. Like, I don't think just because they tag T. Higgins means that he's necessarily gone next season.
Yeah, I would agree because, again, I think we also see in the NFL, if it says trade me and the Bengals say no, what is he going to do?
I also think how they perform this year factors into this, where how many times you see a team win a Super Bowl, and the Bengals are clearly a team that can win a Super Bowl this year. Well, maybe not anymore because Hickey and I both picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl, so it probably means they won't win the Super Bowl this year. But if they do win a Super Bowl, I would actually feel better that T. Higgins would be leaving the Bengals compared to right now. I still think there's a good shot that they're able to find a way to work this deal out and then cut corners in other areas. But with that being said, the Bengals operate a different way
now they're in like a new era, and you know for sure that they're going to take care of Joe Burrow, and you know Joe Burrow is going to make sure that they take care of Ja'Marr Chase with how close those two guys are going back to their days from LSU. Ultimately, though, you know what? The more you think about it, you are probably right that T. Higgins is going to be on his way out, because if you look at the compensation, we've seen safeties go for multiple first-round picks. Bare minimum, if T. Higgins becomes available, even if it's on the franchise tag and you're eventually going to have to give him a new deal if you're another team, I would feel pretty comfortable giving up a first-round pick. If like, let's say my Patriots, Mac Jones, let's say, has a solid season this year. They believe in Mac Jones after this year. They're looking for a number one wide receiver. And let's say they just missed out in the playoffs. They're like picking 18th or 19th. I would easily give that and then some to go get a deal done for T. Higgins and then lock him up long term.
And if you want to then, in that thinking, use that first-round pick to then draft a receiver, we've seen plenty of receivers.
Higgins is established.
Right. But all I'm saying, like, it's also easier to pick a receiver now and have them make an instant impact, because that's a position that's very developed, mm-hmm. and it's quicker and easier to have them come in right away and be a legit piece, so you can easily do that too. First-round pick, okay, let's use that on now another guy that's going to be cost-effective for 4 years. Stinks, but it's meth.
And also, he turns 25 in January. It's not as if this guy is going into his 30s, right? He has a contract that he's going to get before he turns 30, and he'll see the length of that contract before he even turns 30. So it's not as if you look at T. Higgins and you trade for him, you go, oh, man, he can't give you four or five really good, fantastic seasons.
I mean, the Bengals are not going to get – if they get rid of him, it's not because of his age, his talent. Like, it's just
– money.
Unfortunately, right, it's a – catch 22 in a way, because you want to have a lot of talented players in your team. They are doing that, but then the hard part is, how do you keep all of them happy and paid? That's where GMs get paid a lot of money to balance the books, and sometimes you got to cut players and move on or trade players because you simply just can't afford everybody.
The compelling part of this is what happens when Burrow makes that big push for T. Higgins. Because if we shoot Joe Burrow up a truth serum, I think he would sacrifice Tyler Boyd and say goodbye to Tyler Boyd. We all know that compared to T. Higgins. I wonder how much of a push Burrow does make. Now, Burrow's already locked up, agreed to a new deal, all that, so it's like, what leverage do you really have? But you are the organization right now. If Joe Burrow sits down and says, you guys better go pay T. Higgins or I'm going to be really annoyed, I wonder how that changes the conversation at all, and then you're going to have to cut or move on from other guys to make sure that you are able to give T. Higgins close to number one wide receiver money too.
I mean, I hate to say it this way, but I don't see how Joe Burrow is able to do that. Like, it's almost like, well, if you're the GM, you point back and say, well,
because you're the quarterback, you're Joe Burrow.
We can't do that, Joe, is because we're paying you this amount of money, and now we got Ja'Marr Chase as well. Like,
and I would say tough
simple
luck.
Math, like, you can't then give up some money.
Well, they could renegotiate that contract.
Like,
too.
If you want, if Joe Burrow wants to put, like I'm saying, in this scenario, if Joe
Which
says,
will happen.
Sign T. Higgins no matter what, if you're the GM, you guys said, then you put your money in your mouth as and renegotiate and restructure, because we can't afford everyone right now with what we're paying you.
Which that could happen too, where he's not going to lose any money, but they would just restructure his deal and push it out so you could open up more cap on a year-to-year basis and throw that into more guaranteed in the signing.
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, again, I know the salary cap is up and down, whatever, but if Ja'Marr Chase makes $30 million, which now his top five receivers are getting, if T. Higgins wants $25 million, Joe Burrow's making $55 a year, that's $110 million of the salary cap tied to three players. That's unsustainable.
You're not wrong in theory, but how many times do we sit there and talk about the Saints every year? They're like $100 million over the cap, and they always find a way to get the deal done. Or the Eagles. There are so many years I was in this press conference in Philadelphia. Oh, they're never going to find a way to get under the cap, and they didn't really have to shed that many good players. It happens. You find a way to figure it out, but the price tags are now so rich at quarterback and then also wide receiver, you're not wrong in terms of it being difficult. Probably... yeah, we're leaning towards, the more you think about it and talk it out, that T. Higgins will be somewhere else, whether it's next year or the year after that. If they win a Super Bowl, I think he's definitely gone, because then he'll try to go be a number one wide receiver somewhere else, and then he'll go get a fat payday and won't take a discount with the Cincinnati Bengals. But that's going to be the tough part with this contract, because he probably feels like he's a number one wide receiver, but the Bengals know he's not their number one wide receiver, and he could be someone else's number one wide receiver. And usually, when you get into this money situation of, okay, maybe this guy takes less, 9.9 times out of 10, the player does not take less. So you know how I was saying maybe we'll text Jim Burrow, Joe Burrow's father? He actually did get back to me last night. He said, it's a great day for the Bengals and a great day for the Burrows.
I love Jimmy Burrow, former college coach as well. Really good dude when I got to know him for a little bit. And he's come on the show a few times, going back to when I was covering the Heisman Trophy presentation and got to spend a day or two with the Burrow family. But that's got to be awesome, right? You're a football coach. Your son has this great rise, wins the Heisman Trophy, has an all-time great run at LSU, and ends up being the first overall pick. And now you got to think that the Bengals, right, they have like a window here. I would be surprised if Joe Burrow, doesn't mean you're definitely going to do so, but I would be surprised if Joe Burrow doesn't end up getting a Super Bowl in the league. He just has that it factor.
Same. And outside of obviously winning a Super Bowl, going back to when it started in 2019, it's very hard to have a better five-year stretch than what Joe Burrow's had.
If your son, let me ask this question around the room. If your son signs a $275 million contract and he says, Dad, I want to get you a gift. What do you want? What do you tell your kid? What do you think Jim Burrow would ask for here?
Wow. I am not prepared for that. What would I want?
It's radio. You got to give me an answer on the fly here.
I would say a beach house. Is that too crazy?
A beach house?
Yeah.
I like
a house
that.
On a beach.
No, that's good. Nice little beach house. A vacation
relax,
home.
Yeah.
That's good. Ack?
Little man cave.
A man cave? Now, what's in the man cave?
You know, a TV, maybe a recliner.
Only
or a
one? Can we get like six or seven?
Yeah, you know what? Because he's a father. He's a coach. He's probably spent his lifetime conserving his income. And I'm probably guessing he's going to say, you know, I wouldn't mind a TV, but, you know, don't worry about it. Because I don't think he's not the type of guy that's going to say, give me a house. You know, no father says that, especially a guy who.
The kid just usually does it.
Yeah. It's so. I'm saying, you know, a TV would suffice, but I figured while we're going TV, you know, maybe.
Nice man
you know,
cave.
Yeah,
like a $30,000 man cave. No, you could afford it.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be that
that's
nice. Not,
that's
but,
like pennies for Burrow now.
A nice couch is probably about $2,000, and you get a TV for $1,000. It's three.
I'm actually Ooh. Surprised you wouldn't ask for Peter Luger. Like, go buy Peter Luger, then you run the restaurant.
No. They do a great job. You can't mess with that. No, you got to let the pros do their thing, you know?
I would want a sick car. Like, a car that there's no way that I could afford that type of car that's just a boss type of car. That's what I would look for right away. I like your answer, though, Hickey. I think that's a good answer. Like, a really, really nice beach house. Like, we're talking multi-million-dollar beach house.
You don't go crazy.
Yeah, like $7, $8 million beach house. Your son just signed a $275 million deal.
He's got to take care of himself, save some money.
He can never play a snap. Oh, save some money. That guy is 219 guaranteed.
A lot of people go broke. Hey, listen, I would love to find out how much fun it is and how quickly I could burn through $275 million.
Ask the Charles Sprewell. He'll
but
tell you.
I will not be the main reason why my son is now broke. Reason, maybe.
You can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
Nobody's picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl, so let's just go learn, right?
Well, this is always going to happen. Jim Irsay's calling all the shots there, and the honky-tonk man didn't draft this kid where they drafted this kid to have him look great in practice and look awesome running the scout team. You know what I mean? But yeah, let's play this Minshew cat or whatever on Sunday. Like, no way.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. So, three games this weekend in college football. And we'll just ask you a simple question. Which coach is under more pressure? Texas, Alabama, Nick Saban, or Steve Sarkisian? Anyone that's saying Nick Saban is under pressure heading into this game, have you not watched college football for the last 10-plus years? He is not under any pressure. There's more pressure on Sark. This is a big year for Sark. Final year in the Big 12 before going over to a tougher conference in the SEC. You are going with Quinn Ewers. Arch Manning's your third-string quarterback. You're expected to win the Big 12 this year. This was a game last year where if you did not lose Quinn Ewers, you probably defeat Alabama because you lost him. Remember, Drew Brees was advocating for him to get back into the game with that cringeworthy Instagram post at halftime. And then Texas loses by 1 point without Quinn Ewers, 20-19. I think Kiki here, it's not even close. There's more pressure on Steve Sarkisian compared to the great Nick Saban.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he's arguably coaching for his job. Texas going to the SEC next year. You can't win this game. You blow the Big 12 this year and don't win that the last time you're in the conference. Sark needs this one.
So I don't think he, like, don't get me wrong. You want to win the game. But if he loses and it's close, I don't believe people are going to be like, fire Steve Sarkisian. As long as this ship does not sink this year, I do believe because he got Arch Manning there that he will be around next season. Now, if they pull a Jimbo Fisher this year and go 5-7, then I believe that's a different conversation. But if they get to like 8 or 9 wins and that being the low part of this year, I don't believe Steve Sarkisian is getting fired. Deion Sanders or Matt Rhule? What's your answer on this one? Which coach is under more pressure this weekend?
This is really tough. The reason why I'm still leaning Deion, to be honest, is just because I think he is someone that's a lightning rod where either people that are championing him will back him every win or people that are doubting him will push him down every single loss. So I still think this is going to be a big prove-it year, especially before the schedule gets hard. I do think this week specifically, because there's a lot of tension on, if he loses, a lot of people will say,
pump the brakes.
TCU is a fluke. Right, let's not get over ahead of ourselves. Now the tape is out. Now people are seeing. And this could, again, when you have USC coming up soon in Utah, could lead to a little bit of a trickle-down effect in a negative way.
So, but it's so weird because both these coaches are first-year coaches at their respective programs. And Deion, we know, has coached at Jackson State before. And Matt Rhule was at Temple and Baylor before going to the NFL and now coming back to college. I actually think there's more pressure on Matt Rhule because if Deion loses, I understand most people expect Deion to win this week. But if Deion loses and you are 1-1 after TCU and Nebraska on your schedule, if I would have told that to Yahiki, and I did before the start of the season, if they split, that's a win. And you were like, nah, they'll be 0-2. So I think most people did not expect them to win early. And he already took care of one. Now, you can't get embarrassed this weekend, but I don't think Nebraska has the offense where they will get embarrassed. So as long as this game is close, 1-1 isn't a terrible look for Deion Sanders. I do think they're expected to win. But if Nebraska loses another close game, and I know Matt Rhule is a builder, and trust me, I know that better than anybody, but then it's kind of as if the Nebraska fan, I don't think they lose confidence in Rhule, but then it's okay. You have this new coach who, yes, he's a builder, but he's taking over the best situation compared to the other two stops at Temple and then also Baylor, which were just horrible spots. You lose two games close, then it's, here we go again, a little bit of that feeling from the Nebraska fan.
I'll give you credit. You said it last year after Florida beat Utah week one. You said that actually may be more damaging for Billy Napier because it raises expectations higher than they should
be. It's a loser mentality, but you could see it come from a mile away.
You are right. 1-1, most people would sign up for Deion Sanders through 2 weeks. But with how they looked and how they won last week and the talk this week,
the expectations
are off the charts. And now people expect an encore. And I think, frankly, even though, again, you're 1-1, what would you sign up for? Be disappointed if they're now 1-1 after Saturday.
Now, I know you're not believing in Colorado. I do believe in Colorado. I believed in Colorado before the start of the year. Is it just now as simple as they have to get to a bowl game this year? Because I think this is a bowl game team.
I would still say competitive. Like, if you're, let's just say 4-8, but you're in every game, I would still say it's a win.
At this point, after beating TCU, if they only get to 4 wins, that would be disappointing. Jimbo Fisher or Mario Cristobal? I think the answer is Jimbo because he's been there longer. And
absolutely,
they have the better team on paper. You in agreement there?
I'm with you 100%.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Alrighty, we will take a break. We will come on back when we do return. We'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. And also coming up 25 minutes from now, we do this segment once a week. This QB or that QB for this week only in
the National Football League.
It is a Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming on back.
Your challenge, if you choose to accept it, is this.
Let's go! Let's go!
Show up on day one, work out with us for 30 minutes, feel good right away.
Yo!
Repeat 5 days a week for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Five workouts a week.
We're a body, and we call that a body block.
You pick the block, and you're going to love the experience.
On week four, this part is really important. Take the week off. Seriously, we mean it. Rest. Go on vacation. Or try something new. Maybe some yoga.
Notice you're not holding on to any tension here.
Or a dance class.
Get sexy with it, daddy.
You do you. And then start again.
Be committed to this process.
Choose a new body block each month. Get a new challenge each month. Have fun every day. Avoid burnout.
You're not going to quit on yourself today.
This is how you reach your goals. You in?
There is nothing that we can't do if we work together.
Sign up for your first body block today. Visit body.com for a free trial. That's BODI.com.
Are you ready to get started?